Welcome back to Cultivating Hearts. We're back in the studio with Sandy, Tara, Janelle, and myself, Shelley. And we have been in Luke 7, 36 through 50, and talking about Simon versus the sinful woman. And whether you're a Simon or a sinful woman, just hang on, because we've got a lot of stuff that can help you in whichever one you are.
Right. And, you know, Simon, the religious leader, he's a Pharisee. By all definitions, he looks good. He's got a nice house. He's got where he can invite people over. You know, he looks like he's got it all together. Whereas this woman, we don't even get her name. We get Simon the Pharisee, but we don't even get the sinful woman's name. And yet, we need to look at her. Because Jesus, in this passage, when he's talking with Simon, he says, "Do you see her?" And that is a very profound statement, because her actions are worthy of looking at. And in 2001, every year I pray, you guys have heard me say this, if you listen to the radio show on a regular basis, I pray and I ask God for a verse or verses to pray for the year. And in 2001, God put on my heart, I was to pray that my family become certain character traits I saw in this woman. And I made a list in my Bible, and I have it, I always write it and date it when I do that. And I wrote, "I claim these verses as a reality in our lives for Greg, Michaela, and Grant and mine for this year in 2001. May we, one, seek Jesus out, two, stand behind you or kneel before you, that we may weep at your majesty or your presence, that we may clean your feet," and by that I meant to bless you or others that you want blessed. "May we give our kisses affectionately, lovingly, and holy," as in holy, H-O-L-Y, and holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, "and that we give you our best," in Jesus' name. And so I never know what God is going to do when he puts the verses on my mind. And on that particular year in 2001 was the year that Enron collapsed. And my husband worked at Enron. And how little did I know that I was going to need the same focus that she had in keeping her eyes on Jesus, not allowing myself to be distracted by the things of this world. What would be the courtyard of man, like the house, focusing on the house because we had to sell what was our dream home. With the collapse of Enron and all the things that we lost, financially lost everything, all of our financial everything that year because of Enron, and then had to leave our ministry, which we had in Texas and Houston. We had to leave it all behind and move to Omaha, where we knew no one, had no ministry, and Greg was still in the same position, but, you know, by the skin of his teeth kind of thing, just lucky he had a job. And no idea what God was going to be teaching me through that. When we look at what she did, commentators are very clear that because she willingly allowed her hair down to wipe Jesus's feet, that her focus was so focused on the fact that she had before her the Lord, our Savior, the Messiah, that it did not matter that there was a room full of people in the courtyard standing around the table and watching what was happening, that it didn't matter that the Pharisee, the religious leader, was over the table, or that there were others reclining at the table as guests as well. It did not matter. She so was humbled by his presence that she could not stop crying in his presence. She could not stop wiping his feet with her tears and just ministering to him. And it made me think of how in Ezekiel, I don't know how many times, there's probably many times in Ezekiel, it talks about that the priest minister to God. And I think we forget that the role of the priest is to minister to God, to take care of the things of God, to take care of his table and his presence and the light and the things that are in the temple. And so Jesus is our high priest. We as believers, our role as the priesthood of believers in Christ, our role is to minister to Jesus. I think it's very easy for us to forget that that's our role. And so I want us to talk about what might that look like for us. How would it look for us to seek him out and to kneel and to weep and to minister to Jesus? What does that look like for us?
You know, the thing that I was thinking is like during prayer or worship time, and whether it's in personal surroundings or whether it's in a church setting, you know, how many times where we're worried about how we pray, what we pray, the words we pray, are we going to embarrass ourselves?
Oh, yeah.
And it's not, you know, it's not about...
I'm being a Simon the Pharisee when I'm thinking like that.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, I mean, it's, you know, if you're in a worship environment, you know, do you feel uncomfortable if you sway a little or, you know, or whatever it is. And I was reading a book. I can't tell you the name of it, but it just really brought that out to me because it's my personal time, mm-hmm. you know, with Jesus and God, and I don't need to worry about what anybody else is looking at me thinking or doing.
That's funny because that's exactly what I was thinking when Tara was talking about the woman. I had written down, I love her boldness. You know,
yeah.
She wasn't aware of anybody around her, but she was bold enough to do what she felt in her heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I love that.
You know, and
because I do the same thing as you sometimes. You know,
yeah.
That.
The fact that you're describing somebody that's on her knees weeping is bold.
It is bold.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Don't you think that's bold?
Huge.
I know. And you know, it's funny. Every once in a while, I'm just like in the middle of service or during worship, I'm just called to get on my knees. You know, and I used to like, oh, I would not do that. I mean, like, I'm not going to do that because
somebody's
nobody else
gonna
is
notice.
Doing that.
What are they going to think if I get on my knees?
I know,
yeah,
but, you
yeah,
know,
exactly.
The coolest thing is Jerry's always like, I am just so amazed when I see my wife doing that. And
aww.
It's just so humbling for me to see you know, bowing before our Lord.
Yeah, I think that we do that not only in... definitely in worship services and in prayer, but I think we also do that in our interactions with other people,
mm-hmm.
where we feel like the goal of our interactions with other people is to make ourselves look better, make ourselves
mm-hmm.
look more spiritual, or like we know more of what's going on. But like the point of our interactions is to point others to Christ,
yeah.
to help them, to encourage them to be the best that they can be for God,
mm-hmm.
not just to make ourselves look better in their eyes or more spiritual in their
right.
eyes, but to point them more towards God and to encourage them to grow more in him. And so, yeah, it's that same kind of,
but
well, I don't know
yeah.
if I want to do that. That's,
it's sometimes the actions.
Make me look better.
You know, mm-hmm. we go back to the actions speak louder than words.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases they do, although our words can be very powerful.
But I think
but
it comes back to motive, too,
mm-hmm.
like
yeah.
Janelle's talking.
Yeah.
Sure.
What is your motive? What,
right.
yeah, you
because
know.
Simon the Pharisee, his actions, they were there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He invited
this
him.
His heart wasn't.
Now, granted, he didn't do the customs, but his actions were, you know, come on, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
come to my house. Come and talk to me. Come and dine with me. Tell me a story.
Right.
Oh, so thank you, Rabbi Jesus, about the story about the 500 denarii and the 50. I mean, he was willing. And so
right things,
it is very easy, and I'm going to say for me, Tara Rye, to be Simon the Pharisee.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I have to beg God to give me the heart mm-hmm. of the woman who is willing to anoint his feet. And just a case in point, in that I was telling my kids it, on Easter Sunday, I was really struggling with drawing into the presence of God. I just felt like it was all mechanical.
Mm.
For me in my heart, it was like I just didn't feel that I was where I needed to be. I was like, God, I'm sitting there telling him in the service, I'm like, I'm not getting it. To me, the music, everything, my heart, I don't know what's wrong with me. What is going on inside me? Because this is all just mechanical. That's the only way I could describe it.
I felt that way.
That this is nothing but a show, and that I can't tell for myself that there is true focus of worship. And I'm crying out to him. I'm like, God, you know, cleanse me, whatever it is inside me, show me what it is that I need to deal with. And one of the things that God put on my heart is that in my morning routine, I prayer journal, but I have been using my laptop in my Bible software program. I journal in it because I can type very fast, and I can cover way more if I actually type it. And but God has shown me many years ago that it doesn't matter if I'm thinking it, I'm saying it, I'm writing it, or I'm typing it. He knows all that's going on in the thought process. But to get me to slow down, he put on my heart to pull back out my book and make myself pen it. Because for me, I was getting so into the fast of, okay, blah, 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 that my routine of prayer had become routine. And that, and so, and it's so funny because I went home and I pulled out my prayer journal and I just started handwriting them. And that makes me slow down to handwrite. And it was like, oh God, you know, this is amazing. And I'm weeping and I can tell that I am truly drawing into God's presence. So evaluating, because it would have been so easy for me to look at what was happening in the Easter service and to say, they don't have it. This is all for show. This is entertainment. And immediately allowing myself to go into the Pharisee and pointing and saying it's the fault of everybody around me. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But I am learning that when that circumstance happens, it's me that needs to go before God and ask him, what is my sin in this? Mm-hmm. And I don't always do it, but he was humbling me on Easter Sunday. And I think he allowed me, the most precious services of the year to celebrate his resurrection and to walk away going, that was so mechanical. What is wrong with me, God? Because recognizing that it's me that's walked away. And so having the heart of this woman to be able to say, I have enough faith that I'm gonna find out where Jesus is at. Where are you? Where are you, Lord? I'm gonna go where you're at. And not only am I gonna go where you're at, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna stand behind you. But if you're kneeling and you're laying down and your feet are down, I'm not gonna just stand behind you. I'm gonna get on my knees by your dirty, muddy, stinky, hairy, jam-toed feet. Because reality, you know, Jesus and his humanness, that's the way it was. Because his feet had not been washed. And allow my tears to fall on your feet. I'm going to take my hair, which I don't know about y'all, but we can be, I can get pretty prideful about my hair. Mm. My hair's messed up, my day's ruined. You know what? God help me. You know, it's like, you know when a person's having a bad hair day. It's just, you don't. She wiped his muddy feet with her hair. How am I doing that?
It is really interesting that she seeks him out. Mm-hmm. Like that, most stories in the Bible, it talks about Jesus going to places and talking to people and addressing them specifically and calling them out on things. But this woman, not only does she look to see where he's at and then go to find him, but she doesn't need him to say or look like, you know, with the woman at the well, like, say, are you, you know, doing some sinful things? She just breaks down at his presence. Mm-hmm. That she recognizes his holiness and his authority and his power and how that reflects on her sinfulness, and it brings her to repentance, and she loves much because she's been forgiven much.
That is so true.
Well, and just like you were just saying, and like when you started to, like when your heart was opened and it, you know, God was, the Spirit was moving, and it just, how many times, you know, when the Spirit moves you, are you moved to tears? And it's just that cleansing.
It's awesome. Yeah. Why would we fight it? Why would I want to stay like Simon and be at a distance and have him talk to me about the importance of loving much? Because see, what happens is if I have the heart of Simon, when I allow myself, and God forgive me, you guys, I will be the first to confess, I'm probably more like Simon the Pharisee than anything. And that, oh, I want this person to be around, or I want to be, you know, and I want to give the invitation to have the presence, but I don't want to have the invitation to have the transformation. Yeah. And that's the heart of Simon the Pharisee. Mm-hmm. Whereas Jesus wants us to have the heart of, it's not an invitation of Jesus, come. And how many of us sit in what is considered Christian circles and we have the heart of Simon the Pharisee, we don't have Jesus at all.
Oh, absolutely.
We've never been forgiven because we have invited him to come and be our guest, but we have not invited him to come in and make transformation and allow him in faith to forgive us. And that's the difference.
I was just going to say, at service on Easter, it was great. Our pastor was talking about, like Jesus was a chair. And sometimes we kind of, like, put one foot on, we kind of rest on it, and we allow, you know, Jesus to, like, he'll rest on it for a little bit, and sometimes we walk around him, and, you know, sometimes we drag him. Sorry, I'm dragging the chair. You know, drag him around with us thinking, okay, you know, but how, you know, we do all these things, but what we really need to do is put our feet. We just need to kneel on him.
I wish you could see Shelly.
Yeah, we're curling laughing.
Up in a ball and on her chair.
We just need to just rest in him.
Yeah. Don't
his
fall
arms.
Over.
I won't. But it was the She's visual, testing. And he did
it's
the
a great visual.
It was so awesome because it just hit where it's like, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's
so,
really good.
Anyway, now I got to get back on my chair.
You know, I want the heart of this woman. I want to be where I am so humbled by his presence, I forget who's around. And it's just Jesus, just Jesus. Just let me weep on you. Let me love on you. Let me minister to you. And so from the point on in 2001, when God put this verse section on my heart, I've been asking him for myself and for my family, how can I minister to you today? I ask that often. How, Jesus, can I minister to you? How can I, when I'm talking with my friend, touch somebody with the greeting of acceptance and love? How can I speak the words that need to be spoken? How can I sit with them and not just see them, but see them, see their heart, you know, and not give a passing glance, oh, sinful person, but literally say, yeah, I'm a sinful person too. Let's talk and dialogue. Let's connect. Let's interact. Let's meet Jesus together. I'll go kneel with you. I'll weep with you. I'll wash his feet with my tears when you do. Let's do that together. And so literally asking for her heart to become my heart. And so that's the challenge. I want to give. That's what I really want to see happen from this radio show, is that I want us all to ask for her heart. I want you to ask, how can I anoint Jesus today and be the blessing, and that I'm the one ministering to him? How can I go and seek him out, kneel at his feet, go behind him, kneel at his feet, weep on him, and wash him with my tears and my hair? I'm so glad you've been listening, and we want you to come back next week, because next week we're going to cover forgiveness and what that looks like, and that the crowd questioned, who is this that forgives? God bless.